one of the mainstays of treatment in not only lung cancer, but breast and ovarian and other tumors has been taxane-based therapy. However, we know that taxane-based therapy has its issues with regard to either being relatively insolvent in aqueous solution, and you have to have these various solvents. Cremophore is probably the most notable one. Longer infusion times, the toxicities that are associated with it, not with regard to hematologic, but more problematic typically are the non-hematologic toxicities, including myalgias, arthralgias, neuropathy, and hypersensitivity reactions, most of which may be mediated by not necessarily the parent compound taxane, but by some of the things that they're dissolved in. For instance, there's recent evidence that has been published that suggests that cremophore has a direct neurotoxic effect, and so you're really not getting a whole lot of protection from it with you're mixing that with another known neuroprotectant. So what the technology is to do through a proprietary process is really suspend the parent drug, paclitaxel, in nanoparticles that are kind of protected by albumin. And they're kind of these little micelles. They are soluble in water, so therefore you don't have all these solution issues. They are given relatively quickly with a very low incidence of hypersensitivity reactions compared to either docetaxel or paclitaxel. And so we have what appears to be a safer administration and more convenient with less toxicity. The other issue is that obviously Abraxane got registered because it looked to provide a better, at least time to progression in breast cancer in the comparative trial. So perhaps there's some argument that this albumin binding process does create a more targeted approach. There's a protein of interest called SPARC nowadays, which seems to be almost like a sponge effect for albumin in the tumor bed. This seems to be upregulated in tumors. That's been shown in non-small cell lung cancer. So this SPARC protein attracts the albumin, which then kind of delivers the treatment right to the tumor bed itself. And you can show this with either radio-labeled preclinical things or animal models. In a sense, it's a targeted approach, if you will, in terms of delivering the drug to the tumor.
What exactly is SPARC? It's a protein made by the tumor?
Yeah, it is actually. SPARC is a tumor-produced protein which attracts the albumin, actually, as well as other proteins, to kind of hold them in the tumor microenvironment, if you will. I mean, teleologically, it makes sense that tumors want to attract a number of proteins for nutritional purposes, amino acid supply, those sorts of things. And so it does make sense that these sorts of things are mechanisms of which tumors use to proliferate. And it's become kind of interesting because you're essentially using the biology that the tumor has evolved as a mechanism to actually deliver the drug to that particular area. So it's actually a very interesting concept. Now, what is lacking in the kind of proof of concept with Abraxane is to try to correlate parameters of efficacy with levels of SPARC protein. So you can certainly measure this. And obviously, there's some evidence in looking at the SPARC protein to suggest that patients that have a high level of SPARC have a poor prognosis. The question is, if you treat or you select patients based on SPARC expression, is there a differential effect of this particular drug? And you would think there would be if the theory is right, but it's certainly a testable theory that is being incorporated into a number of clinical trials with Abraxane.
What kinds of tumors secrete SPARC?
The data that I've been particularly interested in has been either head and neck cancer or non-small cell lung cancer. But I think this is a general solid tumor phenomenon, if you will. I can't quote you the data off the top of my head in breast cancer or colorectal cancer, but I would guess that similarly this is going on.